Okay, we want to say good evening, and we're happy to be back on an understanding of God's Word. And we just pray that tonight we'll say some things that will help you in your walk. We've been talking about being a hearer and a doer of the Word and the work of God. So we said last week that a hearer, we were looking at the fact, the importance of hearing and doing, because if we hear only, the Bible declared in James 1:22, and we're going to go there in a second, that if we only hear, that we deceive ourselves. And so when we look at the word hear, I mean, you can hear audibly, but it doesn't mean that we understand spiritually, okay? And so there are a lot of people that are hearers as Christians, and they are in, now we're talking about Christians, these are hearers, but they're insensitive to divine things. And this is why they go their own way. Okay, so we're going to try to bring this out tonight because it's very important in the age and the time that we're living in. Deception is running rampant. Satan presents himself as an angel of light. And if we're carnal, it'll be very hard to discern what's of God and what's of Satan. And this is why today we're in an information warfare. And if you remember in Hosea, he said his people were destroyed due to a lack of knowledge. And it wasn't that they didn't have a knowledge or understanding of God. It's just that they rejected that which God revealed. And they picked up some other information that was contrary to truth. And he said, because you rejected me, I'm going to reject you as priest. And we already established the fact that we are a royal priesthood. We are ambassadors, right? We're supposed to represent the kingdom of God. So if I don't hear the word properly, because there are a lot of people that attend church or that don't attend church but read their Bible, and Christ declared in James 5:39, he told the Pharisees, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but they testify of me. So not seeing Jesus Christ in the cross properly will cause us to hear only and go our own way. And if we do that, and this is why we have to be under a teaching ministry that will explain. It's good to hear the pastor squall or the teacher squall and preach and holler, but a lot of that, and especially in the black church, and we just say that because that's what we're familiar with, especially in the black church, we like to be entertained. We like to get a shout on. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with if you that's how the Lord leads you to squall. But make sure we get some understanding.
Right.
Make sure we know what it is that God requires, what salvation means. And a lot of times we need to stop saying, sometimes it confuses people to hear, to say I'm saved or salvation, because they don't understand that that plan of salvation entails, it's a big thing. It entails three parts. And so we think, okay, I'm saved, I'm good to go, going to heaven, boom, that's it. And then we get to trying to live for God in our own strength, efforts, and ability. And Sister, this is what we were talking about earlier. And I think that's where a lot of Christians park it, you know. And we have to understand that salvation, it contains, we have to say, are you justified? Pretty much in the Bible, that's what it, are you justified? And once we know whether they're justified, and you look at John the Baptist, his ministry, we don't give him much credit towards or about this, but his ministry was about repentance. He had a very strong ministry. He won't come out saying, oh, you need to come to the altar because you need whatever. He was very, hey, repent. Let me see fruit worthy of repentance. And in today's church, we just think because we go to an altar that everything is just good to go and we're just cleansed and that's it, never understanding what we're signing up for. And so a lot of people not having understanding never embark on the second encounter of salvation, which is sanctification, meaning that I have to be first declared innocent, not guilty. And the penalty of sin had to be paid at Calvary before I can embark on being changed by the Spirit of God. See that?
Amen.
So if I never explain to people, I'm just telling them to come to the altar. Oh, yeah, we had, you know how they do the count, and I'm not ridiculing anybody. But we say, oh, this many people got saved. and that many people got saved. Well, the real work is discipleship, getting them to the point where the fruit can be developed, where they can be delivered, they can be changed, and this is where we have to teach the cross of Christ for sanctification. Okay, that's where we'll be. So justification deals with delivering us from our past sinful life. We're declared innocent. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Christ took the punishment or the penalty, but it never deals with my justification. Doesn't deal with my condition.
Right.
It deals with the position that I'm in. God declares me innocent, not guilty. But in reality, there's a lot of stuff that I got in me that needs to be changed. So that's the purpose of sanctification, is to change and deliver us from sin's power that it has over us. Because the sin nature doesn't go away. It's there. And if I never understand that I'm in Christ, I'm baptized into his death, I'm buried with him, and then I can rise up with newness of life, meaning that I learn how to look to the cross to live an effective Christian life apart from sin's dominion over me. See, we all have struggles, and we have bad habits and bad attitudes, or wrong or good habits and good things that we consider good in our own right. But according to God, those good things, remember, Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, meaning that it doesn't matter how much good that I do, I still fall short daily.
Amen.
So now that I'm justified, I have to learn how to live this Christian life by faith, okay? This is a part of being a hearer and a doer. I have to hear it, because faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God properly explained as centered around Jesus Christ and the cross, and then I'll be able to grow. See that? Few Christians reach this mark where we let God have his perfect way. My views, my insight, my mind, my heart, everything has to now be aligned with his. I get a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is there not to work with the old. See, we want God to just work with the old way. Jacob wanted God to just deal with Jacob. You know what I mean? The old Jacob, the schemer, the supplanter, the trickster. But Jacob had to, if he wanted to be blessed by God, he had to continue to hold on to God, and he had to let God deal with his way, his old way, his old self. So we want to be blessed by God, but many of us will let go of God because we don't want to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
We want the blessings, bless me, but we don't want to admit, what's your name? Jacob, you trickster, you heel grabber, you supplanter, see that? And so what did God do? The way God dealt with Jacob, to get Jacob out of Jacob, he had to walk this thing, a life of obedience. And he had much failure, many failures, but the failure got him to see that he and his strength could not live for God. He had to rely on a much more powerful power source outside of himself. Guess what the schemer and supplanter did, and we're going to get started. He came in contact with somebody that was much twice as much of a schemer than himself.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And this God allowed because he was getting Jacob out of Jacob. See, this was a sanctification process.
Yeah.
All of that.
Amen.
Jacob had to go through, and we were like, well, why did his uncle do that to him? See, we get caught up in the wrong, we focus on the wrong part of the story.
Amen.
But in order for God, he had to meet up with somebody that was twice as bad as himself to recognize what was in him. And God does the same thing with us.
Amen.
Why they do this? Why they treat me? God is looking to see what your response is going to be, see?
Mm-hmm.
He had to deal with Joseph, and even though Joseph's brothers were wrong, but God had a bigger purpose, and we have to walk by faith. If we say we have faith, all faith has to be tested.
Yes.
Has to be proven that we trust God, see? And it's very easy for me to say and tell y'all I got faith. Oh, yeah, God is good when everything is going good.
Mm-hmm.
But God says, he told Job, Job said, should I just love God or serve God only when things are going good? So faith has to be tested because what? It has to become an experience where I am changed in character to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's the whole point and purpose, to get me to conform, to change. And that's what we're talking about, being a hearer and a doer of God's word. It's changing me.
Yes.
I have to be renewed in my mind and my thinking.
Yes, amen.
Amen. So I'm going to get started because I think I said enough for the intro. And we're going to go to James 1:22, and then we'll take off from there. Amen?
Amen. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Okay. Now, just to recap, we said hearing only means that you hear audibly. You can hear things in your natural man, natural ear, okay? But it doesn't mean we understand spiritually. That understanding comes by way of the Holy Spirit when my spirit, my soul, and my body is in subjection to the Holy Spirit, the divine nature that's placed in me. So when we get saved, we are indwelt by the Spirit of God, and His job is now to speak to my human spirit. See, I have to be changed from the inside out. And that light, remember, He says the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. So when I accept Christ, He ignites my spirit man. See, I don't understand. I don't know why, but I just know. And from there, it shines forth to my soul, to the soul or my conscience, my mind, my thoughts. And it goes on down to my soulish part. And then to my outwardly, my body, I will react and respond. People will see the results of an inward change externally.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so hearing, remember he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word because it's implanted. So if faith, the Holy Spirit will only work in his light. See, remember, our lights are to shine brighter. In Proverbs, it talks about a light shining brighter and brighter. It has to shine bright. So when he ignites me, it's a small flame. But as I walk in obedience to the truth as centered around Calvary, see, I have to understand that victory comes one way. And if I'm to live this life and become an overcomer here on earth, I got to trust. I don't base it upon what I see, because if I see it, I have no reason to hope. So the greatest sign of maturity is how much you hope when things are difficult, how much hope you have in what you don't, you know, and what the cross has accomplished for you when things don't appear the way you want them to be. See?
Amen.
Do you have, how much hope do you have? And that's the greatest sign of maturity. In the midst, Job, he said, though he slay me, what? Yet will I trust him. See that? His hope was in the Lord because he knew, even though he didn't see it materialize yet, he trusted. And same thing with Abraham and Sarah. They believed God, and it was accounted for them to them for righteousness. It was put in their account, imputed righteousness. But now they had to walk it out. And so not counting his old age and Sarah's barrenness, they still had great hope. You see that?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so this is a sign of maturity. See, this is what sanctification is. It matures. Tribulation works patience. It gives us the tests and trials give us the constancy to stand under the weight of the trial until God can produce tried and approved character, Christ-likeness. That's what the experience will bring about. And this will bring about, this will make you and I, it grows our hope. See that?
Mm-hmm.
And hope won't make you ashamed. You and I, we won't be ashamed. Why? Because we've experienced.
Amen.
The power and the love of God in our most difficult situation when things did not seem like they were going to turn out the way we wanted them to. But guess what? All in this, he showed up and he worked those things. What we thought was meant for evil, God worked it for the good.
Yes.
Because we continue to hold on by faith to what Christ has done until we saw that thing materialize. And sometimes you won't see it materialize, but you have great hope because of what you know through experience. You see?
Yes, yes.
Everything we may not see materialize here on this earth, but we know that there's a greater city, not here on earth, There is a home that we have.
Yes, amen.
That's beyond all of this misery and this sorrow that we see today. Mm-hmm. So we have a great reason to hope all the more. So here he says, if I hear only, I deceive myself. You deceive your own selves. Now, remember Eve in the garden. Satan wants us. He's the master of deception, okay? And mm-hmm. he comes in quickly to cause us to become insensitive to divine things. And we saw how her not properly, not trusting in God and his command and his word, and allowing herself to go from God consciousness to now focus on what she wanted. You see how Satan mm-hmm. pulled her away? This is the same trick that Satan used with us today. He tries to pull us. If we entertain him and his voice, he pulls us away from what God has said to what we want.
Right.
And ultimately, all of it is to produce, is something that he's after. He's trying to accomplish his desires. See, we never see what we can't see what he wants because we're distracted by our desires, self-consciousness. This is why self has to be crucified daily. Every day, I don't care what is presented to you and I, the flesh is so powerful. And Paul explains it in Romans chapter 7, how he wanted to do what was right, but there was something in him tugging because he didn't have the revelation of the cross then. And he was just writing the account. I'm not saying that he didn't have it when he wrote it, but he was just giving his account when he was at that point. But he realized in Romans 8:1 that it was through Christ Jesus. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And so hearing only, this is what the enemy wants. He wants us to hear audibly, but don't get understanding. How many people go to church, hear a word, and we just reduce God's word to our personal circumstances and our personal desires and what we want out of it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's no different than what Eve. Oh, you can name and claim what you want. Oh, you can speak it into existence. This is what,
yep.
you know, this is what these doctrines, we have to be very careful because in church, they're teaching kingdom now theology. That's against the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign. We're saying the church is ruling and reigning right now. And so if we say that and believe that, then we have a wrong perspective and understanding of Israel. So now what's in the church? Now the church is saying that the church has replaced Israel. We are spiritual Israel, which the Bible says that, but there is a national Israel. There is God, these people that God's still dealing with. So what we do is we push off the word of God, and then we deny the fact that Israel will be, Paul said, all Israel will be saved. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
You see how the enemy gets us to embrace doctrines that eventually cause us to turn away from the truth of what God meant by his word and his people. And then we just push these. You see, y'all see what I'm saying? And ultimately, that doctrine led or can lead to the Holocaust. It's because the church says, oh, we're Israel. You see what I'm saying? So now what is the church saying? Today the church is saying we are the black Hebrew Israelites. I'm hearing this more and more in the black church. I'm seeing more preachers turning their ears to this Hebraic gospel that says that your Israel, that the true Israel are the blacks. It has nothing to do with color or anything. And then they're more focused on, the scripture said his eyes was like fire and his hair was like wool. Y'all bear with me. It's funny because just because they say the hair was like wool, oh, he's black.
No.
You see how we get pulled away? And
yeah.
And I'm using that just a show. I'm not trying to be critical, but we have to understand these doctrines. We can't cuddle up with it because it can easily pull us away from the truth as centered around Calvary.
Yes, amen.
And that will pull us into all kind of strange doctrines. And I'm not laughing at the people that hear it because the people that hear it sincerely wants to know the truth, but the people behind the pulpit who have been deceived because they heard only from a perspective of their own selfish desires now put these people under this bondage.
Yeah.
of this wrong doctrine, and now it's a pattern, it's a cycle. See what I'm saying? And we pass it down to our children, to our household, from generation, and now all we done, all we have done is heard the word.
Amen.
We've not studied it to know the truth. We've not rightly divided the word of truth, and we've heard it, but we never understood it. We never got into seeing what the words meant and why it's not, that doctrine is not, we are not Israel. The church does not replace Israel, nor does a race, the black race, replaces Israel. You see that?
Amen.
So this is why, so the hearers become insensitive to divine things. And this is why we go our own way. We're not listening to the Holy Spirit, okay? So he says here, keep going, Sister Cherry, verse 23.
For
any questions? Any questions? I'm sorry, I meant to ask it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I see, like you said, it's more and more people saying the black Hebrews and Israel, and it's not that looking at the scriptures, they're looking at the blackness, because God, I know that put it out there. He always putting out, and this is black something, and this is black something,
right.
And you know, like the way in the back old days, how they used to dress and stuff
right.
like that. So he putting that out there, and a lot of people look at that and say, "Well, look at that. They dress like that back there, so they must be the black Hebrews." So therefore, you got people want to say, "Okay,
right.
well, it black, so it must be right." So and people get carried away with that. So now they thinking that, okay, this is the right way to go.
Right, exactly.
Uh-huh.
And so now people become insensitive, and you're more focused on the wrong doctrine. And so what does Satan do? He comes in, and he can do what he wants.
Right.
And I'm glad you said that, because here's a prime example, and I read this, and I'm going to read it. It's talking about Satan, how he wants to rock the church to sleep. And during the time of Hitler and Germany, this same thing happened. The first people that Hitler dealt with was the church. He said, "Oh, y'all can gather together and go to church, but don't let your doctrines and your programs and activities hinder with what I'm doing in the state, in the country." See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so most of the church just went through the motions of going to church, but they never stood on the doctrines of the Bible that would address Hitler and his era and what he was doing. So what happened? Hitler, and let me read this right here, and it'll paint the picture. So being a hearer only means you are asleep to divine things. And this is why Christ had to come and say, "Awake, thou that sleep." Okay? It makes us insensitive. So it says, sometime after the rise of Adolf Hitler to power in Germany, many Germans perceived the real intent of Hitler that was hidden behind his rhetoric. Now, remember, Satan came in with rhetoric to Eve, right? She couldn't see the true intent. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So his rhetoric was to put a Volkswagen in every German carport. It says, after organizing a door-to-door campaign to warn the German people of what lay ahead, they were met by a complacent, self-satisfied public that slammed the door on them for disturbing their peace. Now, they had preachers and they had different newspaper writers that saw what Hitler's intent was. They knew, and they tried to put it out in the press, and they tried to get it out to everybody. But the people were more focused on the natural things that Hitler said he could offer.
Mm-hmm.
See that? So they just, the warning that was sent, and it's the same thing now, so even with the rapture of the church or even with anything, a lot of people will miss the rapture because they're more focused on the here and now.
Right.
What they're going through and what's going on. It says, it is with this in mind that we study the Apostle Paul's warning to the Thessalonians that professing Christians who are asleep spiritually are living in danger of missing the rapture, right? So I want to go down to this word. It says, the biblical meaning that the Holy Spirit intends for that word sleep was kathuda. And it said, metaphorically, it was carnal, of insensibility to divine things involving conformity to the world. So they were carnal, and they, because they were insensible to divine things. because they were conforming to the ways of the world, okay? And so another Greek word for sleep is in Romans 13 when he said, and that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. And you can, y'all can write this down. Some of these I'm going to read just to go through them right quickly. And so it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. See what happened? Eve made provisions for her desires, her fleshly desire, her lust, when she entertained Satan in the garden. She was rocked to sleep. Now, this is what's going to get you, because this word that they use here, sleep, when he said it is high time to awake out of sleep in Romans 13:11, he says the Greek word for sleep is that we are exhorted to awake out of, which is like hypno, from the root word hypnos. And it is the same word from which our word hypnosis is derived. And hypnosis is a state that resembles sleep, but is induced by a person whose suggestions are readily accepted by the subject. You see what that means? It says, what better definition could we have of spiritual sleep than that of listening to the voice of the devil, which is induced by a person who suggests that we turn our eyes from the Lord and toward those things that direct our attention to the world. That's what hypnosis is. You know, you always have somebody there and they tell you you're getting sleepy and they doing whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we go into this state of unconsciousness and they're controlling. We're listening to their voice. And this is what Satan was doing in the garden when he talked to Eve. When she entertained him, this word sleep, he put her in like a hypnosis state.
Wow.
So it says, it resembles sleep, but it is induced by a person whose suggestions are readily accepted by the subject. So he was making suggestions, and she readily embraced it. See what I'm saying? This is why I say what we hear. This is why the Bible says guard your ears and your mouth and your heart through Christ Jesus. Because what? This is how Satan comes in, by what we watch, what we hear, the opinions of others, the mindset of others, family and friends. And if you're not careful, they will seduce us or put us in a hypnotic state where we just start just going with the flow. This is why the media can control the man. They can put something out there and everybody, what they say, gas going to go on. Everybody what?
Go get gas.
Right. Tissue gone. Everybody what? See, so right. So then there's a shortage of supply now. Oh, what are we going to do? Because y'all see what I'm saying? It's so these people study us. They study our, and when I say these people, I'm talking about these big people behind the scenes. We don't see them, and we just see the little people on TV or whatever. But they have studied this for years. They know our behavior. They know how we're going to respond and react. And they're using it for a purpose. There's a motive behind it. And so Satan, it's the same thing with Satan. He uses these things and these people. He wants to keep. That's why the Bible has to come in and say, keep your mind stayed on Jesus. He'll keep you in perfect peace. If we keep our mind stayed on what we hear in this world and what's happening all over, guess what? We're going to be tossed, running here, there. Oh, they said that.
Yep.
This, they said that. Oh.
It's really not
what they, all the hype that they put in there. And we don't find out till later on. See, they had the other day, I think it was a racial thing in Raleigh, and people had spray painted something negative or racial. Well, guess what? They got us all hyped, and guess what they found out? They had the camera, and it was two black people spray painting and doing blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? The image is already there that what? That people were going around doing hate crimes and blah, 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 blah. Y'all see what I'm saying? So what happens? They play on our emotions, get us involved, and then we never hear the truth. They never come out in the masses like they did when they put out the fake and false information, but they got our emotions. They got us engaged and involved, so now we're cutting our eyes at one. They're creating division and strife amongst one another. Instead of keeping our mind stayed on Jesus as Christians, we're getting engaged, and now we're cutting our eye and looking at this other person and vice versa. Y'all see what I'm saying? So this is why we cannot let Satan suggest to us anything. We have to learn, if we are growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're hearing the word and obeying it and trusting God. The Bible says that Satan, he's the god of this world system, but Christ came to destroy his works. And he that is born of God will overcome this world. And he says, this is the victory that overcomes the world. What? Even our faith. So we got to teach people, have faith. You're going to have situations and circumstances. There's nothing in this world. All this corruption and stuff that we see, yeah, is there. You need to know it's there. One, you need to be informed. Two, you need to know how to pray about it and cast every care upon him and not fall for everything that we hear and see. Take heed how and what you hear. Amen?
Amen.
So, amen.
Hearing only puts us in a state of where we become sleep to divine things. We cannot, we become carnal. So the only way or what causes us to respond is when there is a carnal or fleshly thing that's happening. We respond to those things, but we don't respond to the things of the spirit. Y'all ever seen that?
Amen.
You just on fire and you feel the presence of God and you're in a crowd and you're like, you praising him and you look around and everybody looking like, what's wrong with her? It's because they're insensitive to divine things. They can't relate. They're not growing in the things of God. But you put on some worldly music or things of the world, guess
mm-hmm.
what? They up and in it and at it and oh, yeah. Y'all feel it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That means that they're more carnal, and they can relate to the world, and they've not allowed the Spirit of God to transform their walk. You see that?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is why it's important that we grow in our in grace and knowledge, and so when we grow, your faith has to be tested. It says faith that has never been tested is a faith that can never be quite certain. That's why Eve fell for the scheme of Satan. She was being tested.
Amen.
And even in our uncertainty, if we hold on and rest in faith in the cross, God will fix that as I trust and walk in obedience. Didn't he do it for Abraham and Sarah?
Amen.
Remember, they didn't trust. They failed. So failure can be good if I get back up and walk and realize, oh, I tried. I was wrong. And that's what they did. We try to live our life without any failures or fault. But understand the purpose of law or whatever is not for us to try to fulfill it perfectly. This is what we're teaching people in church. We're teaching them law and rules that you got to do it and you can't break it. But that we don't realize what the purpose of the law was. The purpose of the law was to cause us to sin all the more. God knew that. It was, as Paul said in Romans 7, it was something in me just agitated. when you know, you say, think about it. You say, you see a sign, you can be minding your business. As soon as you see a sign say, stay off grass, what do we naturally want to
get on that grass?
You see what I'm saying? So the law always agitates. It's our sin nature that's been, when you see the sign say speed limit 55, we always say, well, we can go 5 over.
Yeah.
That is the natural, see what the law does? Law naturally agitates. You tell a kid, don't touch that stove, it's hot, and sure enough, you turn your back, there they go. They got to see, because when you tell us don't, see the law, don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery. And Paul said, oh, all kind of manners of things start being agitated in me.
through one year, they had so much snow, and they had piled the snow up, and they didn't know what to do with it. And it was kind of cute. One of the newscasters put on there, do not touch.
Amen. That's a good one.
I thought that was so funny. So it'll be gone.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And then they tell you what, don't buy, it's going to be such and such happening. They go, all the meats and the toilet paper. Geez, y'all see? A natural,
yeah.
That we get agitated. Oh, is this going on? And there's not going to, and something in us. That's why people go and run and hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just something naturally in us that's agitating. We feel like we got to go do what they said. And then you say, don't do this, don't do that. And then people still get more gas than what they needed, right?
Right. Amen.
So the purpose of the law is, and we have to understand that what law is. We never understand the law. God put it there. God allowed it to be there to get us to realize we can't keep the law. We can't keep God's standards in our strength.
Right.
We fall short. And it was to get us to see that we needed some plan, something greater than ourselves.
Amen.
See that? And so there we are in church trying to teach people to live under the law, under rules. And all that does is agitate us all the more, the sin nature, to respond. That's why people, you see them, they're trying to be holy, and then you hear about them later on, sexual crimes and this and that and all this was going on. It's because there's a they don't have the power to overcome. All they have is the power and strength of their own might.
Right.
You see that? And so let's get back to
23.
Yes, ma'am, please.
For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass.
Okay. So when you look at this analogy, and we're going to go to Matthew 13 because I wanted to show something here in a second. When you look at this analogy, he says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And this preacher, Walter Martin, had said, he made a joke out of it. He said, the law is a mirror, right? Mm-hmm. And the law can shows you what, it reveals to us what we are. But you don't shave with the mirror. You're shaving by grace.
Ooh, amen. Wow.
So when you look in the mirror, you see yourself. What's in the mirror is a reflection of you, but it's not the mirror that's the problem.
Right. Amen.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. It's what's looking at the mirror. That's the problem. I'm the problem.
Right.
So when you look at law, and I remember you think about this, you think about, you know, we look in the mirror and we say, oh, I put on some pounds. Oh, man, I didn't know I looked like that. Oh, wow. Or you see a picture, you say, you know, oh, man, oh. And then let's say you walk away and you go somewhere and you in a food court and you smell food, okay? And your senses and your desires and lusts lead you to go eat some fried chicken. I'm just using something, y'all. We forget what we saw in the mirror, right?
Yep.
And we're deceived because we saw ourselves briefly. And we were agitated by what we saw. You know, hey, wow. But as soon as you walk away, you forget.
Wow.
And then you're led, if you smell food and you see things, and I'm thinking about Eve, she saw that fruit. She forget. This is what happened to her. She saw that fruit. Oh, wow, you mean to tell me I can be like God? You forget what you were, and you just eat. And then what happens afterwards?
Man, I wish I hadn't ate that chicken.
Yeah. Guilt set in, right? Oh, my Lord. You see that? Guilt sets in, and you feel, oh, man, and you go put on some clothes or something, and you feel, oh, my.
Yeah.
But then the cycle continues. You see yourself again, and then what happens? You go back, and you smell that food or whatever it was, or you have that. See, we have this thing in us that even God has to put that to death, whether it's gluttony, whether it's, you know, you can't control What you smell, you know, you smell stuff, and you can't control yourself to not go eat that or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Y'all see, this, even that takes the power of the Spirit of God. So law is not meant to person see themselves in the mirror. It's not meant to, you're not shaven by the law. Grace has to shave us and shape us into what God wants us to be. That's the perfect law of liberty. See that?
Amen.
So one morning, I don't know what was going on. I got dressed, and I don't know, but when I got to work and I was making coffee or whatever, and I happened to look in the mirror, I had one silver earring, and it was small, loop, and then I had one big gold one. And I just happened to look up, and I was like, I told my coworkers, I said, y'all didn't tell me I had two different earrings on, and they're not even the same type. Like that, right? So after the fact, all that day, I was mindful of I had on two different. You see what I'm saying? This is what a hearer and a doer does. You remember. You see what I'm saying? You remember what you saw in that mirror.
Right.
And I saw that I had two different earrings, one gold, one silver. And so I was always conscious that I had two different, and even though nobody else was paying any attention, but I saw that. Y'all see the point I'm trying to make?
Right.
When we look into the perfect law of liberty, you are reminded of what you, when you are a hearer and a doer, you're always reminded of what you saw, because Christ is that, he's that perfect law of liberty. He's the one that sets us free. I have to see myself as I really am, just like Isaiah. And because I'm in his presence, he's perfect.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? He's perfect. He's holy. So I'm going to see my shortcomings.
Yes.
Because when I stand in his presence, I see, oh, wow, I'm messed up, like Isaiah said. So the things that's in my life that's preventing me from seeing him high and lifted up, that's why I cannot become a doer of the word. God has to, he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God. See that?
Mm-hmm.
That's our part. We are supposed, when the Spirit of God reveals what I am, what I don't, y'all see, when he reveals that, I have to acknowledge and admit. So being a doer, I will remember what I saw, because I would look in comparison to who he is. So when I see Christ and all he's done for us and his glory, that he was perfect, holy, just, and right, but yet he gave up his right as God to come down as a man and redeem us.
Amen.
It's like our mind. Then he says that we have an inheritance with him.
Yes.
Y'all see that? We can't wrap our minds around the fact that God, the Creator,
Amen.
Can identify with me, can do something. See, because as God, he's holy, just, and right. Right. He cannot approach me, who's a sinner. But God made a way. See what I'm saying?
Yes,
he made a way where he said, I can reach you. And this is what we have to realize. See, we have to realize that, wow, he went did all that just for me. And when our minds, when we see that, it's like, Lord, I don't care what the enemy offers me.
Yes.
It's not about me. See that?
Right. Amen.
When we were sick and when we were down and out and nobody else could help, and you have an experience where the Lord stepped in on time and you know nobody else did it but him, you don't care what the world thinks or people think of you. I'm going to serve you, Lord. He said, he that loved much has been forgiven much. When you realize how much he forgave you, think about of the stuff that we've done in our lifetime, and he still forgave us and yet wants to approach us. You see, you'll be like, you're going to love much because you've been forgiven much.
Yes.
So he says, if we look, and I want to go back. Let's go to Matthew 13. Any questions before we go any further? Let me see how much time we got, because y'all know how that works.
You know, I did think about what you just said, you know, how you can, sometimes you can just think of you feeling bad about yourself, and then the Spirit come to you and say, I don't care what you've done, what you did, what you have done, God forgives you, he loves you, and you think about me being a nobody. Yeah. Just say like me being a nobody. He can just He forgive me for all that, and then He just takes me and carry me on. Remember that song we just sang? He brought me out. He just brings me out and keep bringing me out of stuff.
Amen.
And I say, Lord, I thank God. Lord, I had a spell in here today thinking about how good God is. Oh, my Lord.
Amen. Amen. And that's why it doesn't, you know, I don't care what people, the world and all this stuff, he's done, he's given us the power to overcome this world.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
When I hear people making excuses, and a lot of the time people just think I'm, you know, you're being funny. But don't let race be an excuse. Don't say it because I'm this color, I can't overcome. No, if you're a Christian, you have the power to overcome. We're not saying that stuff and injustice and stuff don't happen. But guess what? Because we're living in a world system where it's ran by Satan. So guess what? Every race has gone through some kind of injustice, right? But don't sit, we can't sit here and let it be an excuse, because he said he went to the cross to destroy the works of Satan. You and I can have victory right now.
Yes.
The enemy wants to make us victims.
Yes.
We're not victims. We're overcomers.
Amen.
So this is why we have to, the believers cannot become carnal. We cannot be caught up in what we see and hear in our emotions. We got to stand in the power and the might of his spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so in Matthew 13, y'all there?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is, we're still talking about hearing, being hearers and doers. Now, notice what Christ did in verse 10. He's explaining the parables of the sower and the seed. So, verse 10, let's start there.
And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given.
Now, the note says in verse 11, it says, he concerns the Lord's method of dealing with two different classes of people. When they asked, he answered and said unto them, those who really wanted to know God's way, and from those who were just curious. See, there was two different sets of people. There were some people that hungered and thirst for righteousness, and then there was some that just, you know, wanted to come and hear what he had to say so they can report it back to the Pharisees and whatever. So Christ's method was to speak in parables, and if you were spiritual and looking at it from a kingdom, from his perspective, you would get it. See that? He said, it's been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it's not given. So what did they do? The people that it was not given, and not saying that it wasn't available for them, they didn't want it. They did not want to understand the kingdom. Pilate said what is truth, but Pilate really didn't want to know truth. He wasn't ready to give up being governor. He wasn't ready to give up trying to please Rome. See that? It was about self-promotion. See? So the Jews, the Pharisees, they weren't ready to give up their positions. They were there fighting against Christ. So Christ spoke in a way where if you were wanting truth, just like he spoke to the woman at the well, at first she was thinking he was talking about a physical water in pots. But as he continued to talk, he reached her, he touched her in an area where she picked up on spiritually. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
And she started understanding it was a spiritual water. And so it's the same thing here. Some of us, we have a desire to know things past this natural world. We're not here about trying to be promoted and trying to get, like Eve, you know, wanted to be wise and like God apart from him. We want to know the truth. We want to know, you know, we're not here trying to side with whatever this and that, but there's a desire to understand the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. So there are two classes of people, those that want to know and those that's just showing up curious. Because God, it has been given unto those who are called, the elect. Many are called, few are chosen. He died for the world, but not everybody wants it. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
And God, through foreknowledge, know who's going to receive it and who's not.
Right.
Just because he's God. So he spoke in parables so that those who really wanted it, they would get it.
Amen.
Let's keep going, verse 12.
For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath.
So it says here, for whosoever hath, it's talking about they have some spiritual understanding and they want more. There's a hunger and a thirst. What did he say? To him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. So it says in the notes, if one wills righteousness, some people just don't understand how to get to or understand what it means. And so God will, as he see that, what he say, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. If I'm faithful and respond to the little, guess what? It opens up to more.
Mm-hmm.
See that? Out of our belly shall flow rivers of what? Living waters.
Waters. Mm-hmm.
So if one wills righteousness, the Lord wills more righteousness to them. But whosoever has not, has no interest for more. There's some people that get, they say that, oh, I gave my life to Christ and that's it. Go to church, sit down on God. They don't want no more. They don't want more as far as the spiritual coming from him. They want more church life or entertainment. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But there's no interest for the more abundant,
right,
that comes from the Spirit of God in us. So it says, from him shall be taken away even that he has. It says he not only loses what, y'all bear with me, I'm sorry, in the background.
We hear the choir.
I'm sorry, y'all. Give me one second.
Left me alone again. So it says, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. Okay. So, but whosoever has not, no interest for more, from him shall be taken away even that he has. He not only loses what he could have had, but even that which he has.
Yes.
To those who accept the cross, they will have even more. And to those who reject the cross, they will lose everything, even that which they previously had. There are some people that started out right, preached the cross, lived the cross, but whatever it was that happened in their lives, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of the world, whatever it was, those things, this is what he's referring to, they can be taken away. You can lose those things because you you value the world or whatever it is that you seek after, wisdom, mm-hmm, knowledge, I don't know what it is. But there's if we put anything other than the cross of Christ and put our focus on anything other than the cross of Christ, those things can be what I at one time grew in, they can be taken away. I can lessen in that. That makes sense? And so that's all he's saying. He's saying they can eventually be taken away. You can, because I've seen people, I mean, start out very powerful ministries, but right, over time the flesh and being caught up in whatever, their own lusts and desires, they get pulled away, and that which they had is gone. See that?
Amen.
Let's keep going. I know my time is almost up.
Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand.
Oh my, see that?
Mm-hmm.
So they see with the natural eye, but they really don't see spiritually. See that?
Mm-hmm.
They hear with the natural ear. This is why people, we can all go to the same church or go to the same teaching, and everybody see and hear, but everybody don't understand or get the spiritual,
amen,
implications behind it. You see? It depends on the heart.
Amen.
It depends on your heart. So he says, that's why I speak in parables, because it says, in order to separate those who hunger and thirst for righteousness from those who don't. This is the separation that goes on from day to day to day. This is why in John it said they started with us, but then they were not of us. And it just showed that they really wasn't a part of us. I'm just paraphrasing. It meant that they this crowd started together as in the same, you know, in ministry or as Christians, but over time it started being revealed they really weren't a part of us. For whatever reason, you know, we can all gather and go to church together and we think, oh, yeah, uh-huh. But God will allow trials,
mm-hmm.
situations to do some separation. See that?
Amen.
And then you start mm-hmm. seeing where people truly stand. Are they standing on the truth of God's word, or were they just standing for church and ministry and religious works and activity? Or were they just there because they wanted a position and a title and a paycheck or blah, blah, blah? You know, this God continues to do or allow the separation just to reveal, he says, therefore I speak to them in parables because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not. Neither do they understand.
Amen.
So this says, they do not wish to see or hear or understand, and hence by a just judgment they lose this triple moral ability. That's why they can't see and hear. It goes back to their heart, what they desire.
Right, the heart.
See that? Right. It's the heart. And so we can't just, well, we've been with them all these years. So, no, when God starts doing a separation, it's to help them.
Amen.
It's to grow you and I up so that they can see an example. See that? They can see the example, and they have to strive to come up. You can't go down. You can't come down to their level. You got to stay up. And even though it may cause friction to them,
mm-hmm.
you and I have to, as Cynthia, as you said, we have to be, we're seated in heavenly places. With Christ,
Amen.
We have to stay with Christ. Christ didn't even let his, if you want to see the heart of Christ on this earthly journey, the Psalms show his heart. And I think it was Psalm 22 or Psalm 69 that it talks where it shows where he was brought up with his half-brothers and how he felt so out of place. See? He was out of place. Can you imagine being a child? You don't have the same father, and they ridicule him. It showed it in the Psalms. And so my point is, he had to continue to go on. It wasn't just the cross that he bore all the ridicule and all the shame. He grew up, he lived a life of it. His brothers didn't even believe him. But he had to continue to do the will of the Father, even as a child. Mom and Dad, where you been? Where you at? Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? See that?
Amen.
So we have to live the same. It's not that you're trying to be, but we have to be separated from the world and from people that, not saying separate, there's not isolated, but there has to be a separation as far as how you live, so that the world, these folks around us can see the example, so that they can desire. What the woman at the well say? Come see a man that told me her life was changed. They saw that. And when they saw that, they said, we don't want to hear, we heard your testimony, and we thank you, sister, but we want to go to him for ourselves.
Amen.
That's what our lives, see, at first they may ridicule you. At first they may talk about you, but you continually to live, because they're trying to see where you at, but you continue to live your life for Christ and do those things that are right, being separated will cause them to eventually realize, you know what? She got something. I want what she got.
mm-hmm.
I want what he got. Y'all see?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So let's keep going. He says, was it 14?
Yeah, 14.
Okay.
And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive.
So here it's because they rejected the cross. You see that? That's why the Pharisees couldn't see or hear or understand his parables. That's why they kept getting tripped up. And that's why Christ knew how to respond, because he knew where they, he knew they were in the flesh and they had no desire to live for God. But yet they sat in the position of Moses, the seat of Moses. They sat in the synagogue preaching the word week after week. And yet the people under their ministry were in bondage. See that?
Mm-hmm.
How do we know? Look at the blind man in John chapter 9. Blind all his life, and when Christ set him free, his parents were afraid to speak out. Why? Because they didn't want to be excommunicated from the church. They said, he's of age, go ask him for yourself. And the Bible says they said this because they feared the Pharisees. You see this? There are many people sitting under religious system that are fearful and afraid because of these preachers and doctrines that they sit under that puts them in bondage, and they don't have the power to rise up, pick up their beds, and walk. They need to see you and I standing in the truth of faith in Calvary, because the power of God working in us will compel them to hear and to see and to understand. But the parents rejected Christ. They rejected the testimony of their son, and they chose to stay under religion. See that? Mm-hmm. This man saw and was touched by the Spirit of God, and he didn't care. He started preaching to them, and they said, who are you telling us? He said, well, isn't this something? I don't know. And they called him a sinner, but he says, I know one thing, never has any man opened the eyes of the blind. You see that?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So the point is, he heard, he saw, he understood with his heart. They sat in religious political seats in the church, but yet did not understand who Christ was nor what he came to do.
Amen.
See that? This is why it's important to hear and do. And the way we hear and do is we had to approach God by having faith in the right object. And when faith is in the right object, it will compel you, he will compel you, the Holy Spirit, to move and to respond in obedience to God's word. Why? Because we receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save the soul.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to have to... Yeah, we're over our time, so we'll mark here in Matthew 13. We'll pick up at 15, because he explains why they cannot receive. They were religious, and religion, we said before, is just man's effort or attempt to appease God. It's man's effort to reconcile himself back to God. That's what the sowing of the fig leaf was about. So we'll pick up at Matthew 13:15. We want to say thank you to everyone that tuned in on tonight, and those on the line, if you'll hold on, we'll take questions and comments. But tonight we hope that we made it clear, hope that you understand that it's by faith, and that hearing comes by faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Now that you hear, you got to hear right. You got to hear the right message. You got to have a right understanding of salvation. And when you hear with your faith totally placed in the cross of Christ for saving you, justifying you, sanctifying you, and then one day glorifying you, taking you out of the presence of sin. See that? When you trust the cross for those three processes, which entails the whole salvation plan, then you'll be able to hear and do as you walk this thing out by trusting his plan. So, we just pray that we said some things that will help each one in their walk. And until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on an understanding of God's word. Thank you and be blessed.